Excellent. Well, I'm going to read a short passage from Psalm 119. But we'll not read the whole of the chapter. Just to keep you comfortable, we'll read the first two sections. So reading verses 1 to 16. Verses 1 to 16. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 16. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. Let's pray. O God, our Father, as we are in your presence this night, we do rejoice in the gifts and the mercies of your grace. And we thank you for the Word of God. And we pray that as we consider your Word this evening, that you will give us a mind and a heart for your Word. And not only so, but that you would give us a mind and a heart that hungers and yearns for your word, and not only your written word, but that our heart and our mind would yearn for the word of God incarnate. And so as we come this night, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work, causing us to treasure your word, and to store it up in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, but that that word shall lead us to the word, and that our comfort and our consolation shall be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as I was thinking on this section of Psalm 119, the second section that begins with the Hebrew letter Bet, for like our English letter B. Every verse, of course, every section of Psalm 119 has 8 verses that all begin with that Hebrew letter. And this second section begins with the Hebrew letter Bet. And every single verse, apart from verse 12, it's like that guy that was mowing his lawn again this morning. Every single verse begins with the Hebrew letter Bet, which forms the Hebrew word for what? Do you know, Ross? Nope. The preposition Bet means in. He's all set to go to seminary. He'll be fine. You don't need to worry about that Hebrew exam. He'll be fine. The Hebrew letter Bet, signifies, when it's used as a preposition, signifies the word in. And so every single verse of the second section, apart from verse 12, begins with the word in. Now, that made the poetry pretty easy for the poet, I guess. He just had to think about what kinds of things he wanted to say in. So in verse 9, he says, in what way? Meaning, how can a young man keep his way pure? Verse 11, in my heart, meaning with my heart. Verse 10, verse 11, in wholeheartedness. Verse 11, in my heart or within me. Verse 12 uses a different word, meaning blessed or blessing. Verse 13, in or with my lips. Verse 14, in the way or in your way. Verse 15, in your precepts. Verse 16, in your statutes. So it's about getting something in, right? It's about getting something in, particularly to young men. How can a young man keep his way pure? In what way can a young man keep his way pure? Now, as I thought about this through this week, I was at Deer Wander, and I was thinking about various titles that I could use for the sermon this evening. And one of the titles that I thought of was this: the proper feeding and nurture of young men. And then I watched the young men at Deer Wander, and the way they behaved at the dinner table, and the kinds of things that they put into themselves. And then I watched them at night, because not only did they get three square meals a day, big meals, meat at every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Then in the evening at about 9 o'clock, the snack shack would be open. And they'd all go to the snack shack and put more things in to themselves. So I watched this for a while, and I thought, no, you know, the proper feeding and nurture of young men, I'm not sure that that's going to be the right way to talk about this particular passage of God's Word. And then as I was looking at it, and I was thinking of it another way, one of the things that happens is that it talks about our treasure. It talks about storing things up in the way you would store up a treasure. It talks in the last couple of verses about delighting and taking delight in God's testimony. And so in a particular way, what it's talking about is what you put into your chest. Because you put your treasure into a chest. And so this section is saying, now let's think, what is the treasure? Thanks, Lance. You didn't need to do that. I mean, all right, but thank you. What is the treasure that you put into your chest? Meaning your chest, your heart. What are you putting into your chest? And I thought about this a little bit as well, because this section of this old song is particularly talking to us about young people. And I thought, well, that's going to be relevant for Rob, because he is young. Aren't you, Rob?
Yeah.
I thought this would be relevant for Rob, wouldn't it? And then I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought, you know, a number of our young people this week and next week are going off, leaving home, some for the first time. And I went through that experience last year, and it's, let us not talk of it. And so it's important that we understand what we should feed our young people with. And it's important not only for us to think about that for our young people, but it's important for us to think about it for ourselves. What are we putting into our heart? On what do we nourish ourselves and nurture ourselves? What do we treasure? What do we store up in our heart? What do we take delight in? And there are many things that we store up in our heart and many things that we take delight in, but the particular passage is forcing us to ask it in a particular way. How can a young man keep his way pure? It's about purity. It's about holiness. And young men and young people and older men, older people, need to constantly be wrestling with that question. How can I keep my way pure? holy. Augustine, when he was a young man, as I'm sure you know, prayed, O Lord, give me chastity. And then he added another little phrase. You know what he said? But not yet. O Lord, give me purity, give me chastity, but not yet. That's a young man's prayer right there. And surely it's the prayer of any sinner, any one of us, as we contemplate holiness and what it means. Holiness should be what we long for. Not Krispy Kremes, but holiness. And this is what the passage is directing us to. Now it's directing us by repeating the word end over and over and over again. Holiness, purity, well, it depends what's going in. And it uses various pictures to describe this for us, but it doesn't only speak about what is in our heart, but it also speaks about what is on our lips, and it also speaks about our eyes. So this particular song, this old part of the song, talks to us about the various aspects of our life involving our heart, involving our lips, and involving our eyes. So it's talking to us a little bit about Bible intake, and if I could put it this way, inhaling the Word. It's kind of mixed metaphor there, and it's kind of, you know, but be careful with it. Don't run riot with that. But inhaling the Word, drawing it in, sucking it in, and pulling it in is what he's calling us to. But it's not just calling us to that, because he also calls us to some Bible exhaling. That was the only word I could get to. I tried all kinds of other words, but that was it. What do you mean by Bible exhaling? Well, in verse 12, he calls upon us to bless God. So as you take God's word into you, one of the results is that you end up praising and glorifying God. And a little later, he says, in the next verse, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. So Bible intake of the word into our heart leads to Bible exhaling in terms of praising God and speaking his word, which obviously means witnessing and declaring his truth to all that we meet. Sam also then goes on to talk to us as to how we're supposed to react to that. I remember one time being at someone's house for dinner in Ireland, and the little boy was not eating his Brussels sprouts. I don't know about you, but we have Brussels sprouts every year in our house at Christmas, and more or less that's it. They're so wonderful. Brussels sprouts. Anna wants them. That's really the only reason. If Anna didn't like them, we wouldn't have them at all. But Anna likes them. But I remember sitting at this man's dinner, and his family were there, and we were all there. And the little boy was told, "Eat your Brussels, John. There'll be no dessert if you don't eat your Brussels." And I sat there thinking, "Poor boy. He's got to eat up his Brussels sprouts or he'll get no dessert." Now, I know that's why some people do these things. But, you know, if you don't have a taste and a relish for Brussels sprouts, why on earth should you be forced to eat them? I mean, that's my view. It's like, it's an acquired taste, Brussels sprouts. And it's like lobster. See? It's an acquired taste. Gotta work on it. Well, at least I think you do. Gotta work on it. Now, Sharon's fortunate, she has an allergy. And I'm working on an allergy. Because it's an acquired taste. You acquire a taste for something, and then you begin to relish it. See? Now, as we take in God's word, and it then begins to have this effect upon us, we should begin to relish it. And that's what this song is speaking about, relishing God's word, holding it in our hearts so that we don't sin, gazing upon God's truth, delighting in it, meditating upon it, fixing our eyes on His ways, and delighting in His statutes so that we do not forget it. So what's He calling upon us to do here? Well, that's the general, that was the introduction. I have 16 points. I'm enjoying this outdoor service. What time do we have to leave? We'll get the s'mores. The s'mores will be, I'll be able to say, oh, wait, there's s'more. What's He call upon us to do? What's He, in this instruction, all right, the care and feeding of young people and our own care and feeding in order that our mind and our heart would continue in that fresh and lively way before God. What is He telling us to do to keep our way pure? By guarding it according to Your word. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commands. I've stored up or treasured Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of Your mouth. In the way of Your testimonies I delight. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on Your ways. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. What's He telling us to do in this particular passage? First, I think He's saying this. Pay attention to the word of God. It is the way of God. And He reveals Himself to us in this way. One of the interesting things about the word way is that it comes to be associated with and understood in the word rut, R-U-T. All right, because a way was often a rut. Now we don't like to be in a rut, do we? We use that phrase being in a rut. We use that in a bad way. But in a sense, that's what the word means here. The word for way means a rut. You didn't, in the days before Tar McAdam did his work, wasn't he a Scotsman? And invented tarmac. Tar McAdam, that was his name, wasn't it? And he invented tarmac. In the days before tarmac, you got your cart out. You put your cart either behind your horse or your ox. And when it went out into the main road, it wound its way into a rut. And you were quite happy for that, because the rut was the route that all the other carts had. Well, what's wrong with saying the rut is the route?
It's good.
It must be something in the air or something. The rut was the route that took your cart to where you wanted to go. So it was like getting on the tube or the T, and the way it was set right down there. It was like train lines or tram lines. This is the way. So getting into the way of the Lord shouldn't be a rut. Now, how often does your Bible reading feel like a rut to you? When it feels like a rut, you should say to yourself, that's a good thing. Thank God. Thank God for these train lines, these tram lines, that keep me going in the direction that I ought to go. That's what we do. So we ought to take heed to it and guard it and delight to be in it. Second thing I think He's telling us to do is that we have to bring our whole heart to it. Bring your whole heart to it. Incline your heart. It's not just a matter of information. Sometimes we come to our Bibles like that, wanting to get information. Okay, so the pastor was speaking this morning about election. And he was thinking that all that hard stuff about election and choosing and then looking at the other side of it and hardening. And okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of this argument. See, and sometimes we can come to our Bibles just wanting to get to the bottom of an argument so that we can go back and poke somebody in the eye. Or, as they say in O'Brien, wipe their eye with something. You're going to wipe somebody in the eye with some flashy comment or something. But it's not a question of information. It's a question of inclination. Does your heart lean towards God's Word like a flower that leans towards the light? Do you see that? That's what flowers do. They just lean towards the light. So you turn your flower pot because you want your flowers to grow up straight. I don't know why, but your flower is always going to be bending. They get its head to the sun. And that's what he's saying ought to be our desire, that our head is always leaning towards the sunlight of God's truth. And more than that, that we hide it in our heart so that it gets in there and begins to infect us and begins to pump around us. You know, what did they say about John Bunyan? That his blood was bubbling? John Bunyan, that if you pricked him anywhere, the Bible would come out. And that's just, the man was saturated in God's truth. And he loved God's Word. This is what God is calling us to do. To take heed to the Word, to incline our heart to the Word, and to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? This is what he wants us to do. Why does he want us to do that? Well, very clearly. Well, this is the way to keep your way pure. Purity is going to be fed and nourished. Holiness is going to be fed and nourished on God's truth, on God's Word. Not much else. Not much else. Now think about that. How much else we stuff into our heart. How little of God's Word we put in. But God's Word keeps us pure and nourishes holiness. It preserves us from sin. It keeps us from wandering. I store your word up in my heart that I might not sin against you. It gives to us the desire to praise God. When he says, Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes, he's saying, the more I feed on God's word, the more appetite I have for it because I want to praise him and to bless him. And then in the same breath, he says, it gives me a greater appetite as well. I want to praise you, but oh, teach me more. And it's that's when we begin to relish it, and it begins to have this cumulative effect. It's one of those things that's cumulative. And it also pushes us to witness and to speak and to declare God's testimonies, and it fills us with delight in so many different ways. He speaks of it here as delight. The word in verse 14 is festive. Almost like dancing. I was reading, I just didn't want to say it was dancing because I was just... I was reading, I'm afraid of what might happen here. I was reading the testimony of John Duncan, who was an old Scots Presbyterian teacher. They called him Rabbi Duncan because he ended up teaching Hebrew in the Free Church of Scotland College. A wonderful man. And when he became a Christian, he was living in Aberdeen, and the River Dee runs through Aberdeen. And John Duncan wrote in his diary, when he became a Christian, he said, "I danced with joy on the Brig o' Dee." I danced with joy on the Brig o' Dee. Why? Because his heart had learned the same song that John Newton learned. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's the kind of delight that he's speaking of there in verse 14. In the way, in the rut of your testimonies, I delight. I dance with joy. Then he speaks about it in a different way in the last verse. I will delight in your statutes. Much more home delight. It's like having a private party at home. I don't know why, but he used both those words. The one is the dancing with joy on the brig with D kind of word, and the other is sitting at home with pure joy and pure delight. That's the effect that God's word will have in you, on you. Now, as I thought about this, I came to the conclusion that this is what we're to do, and this is why we are to do it. But then I came back to it and found the exhortations that stand in it. How should we apply this to ourselves? Three ways, I think. First of all, we should begin the practice of meditating on the Word of God. And when I was away at Deer Wander this week, I had the time to do that, and I took one of the Psalms, and I just read that Psalm every day. And by the end of the week, that Psalm was running all over me and filling my heart with joy and delight and courage. And I have to tell you, that was God's mercy to me, because I haven't felt very courageous recently. I haven't felt very joyful recently. But God took His word, and as I meditated on it and chewed it bit by bit, He switched a little click inside my heart. Does God do that to you? He does, especially if you meditate. Just take a passage and start chewing it. Don't read it quickly. Read it slowly. And then read it again the next day. And then read it again the next day. And by the end of the week, I was reading it like this. I was reading it as a prayer. Praying it. Because the Spirit had helped me to make it mine. I was the singer of the song. But as I sang the song,